Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Oh, it's a Football Friday fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Chris Carter, the Post Gazette, going to join us momentarily on that fan hotline. Fan morning show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. One more of these, at least for now, Dorn. Texter, I always thought it was a hatch tag on Twitter, you know, because it was a bird. And you gave birth to a new idea, so you hatched it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
That's, yeah.
That makes some sense.
Never heard that one, but.
Hatch tag.
Hmm.
I always used to, when I would read tweets, in my head, I would read it as pound. Like pound Steelers.
Oh.
That's how I would read it.
I read it as a hashtag.
Oh.
Hash. Number.
It is 8. Thank you for that, no sell. It is 8:03. Time to get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. And it's also time for Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. Good morning to you, Carter. How you doing, brother? Can't hear him.
I used to do hashtag Crowman. You thinking I was saying pound Crowman?
He probably was thinking that.
Like pound that. Pound Crowman. That. I just like any kind of attention. So hashtag. Pound crowd, man, I like it. Are you going to see ground and pound football this weekend, Carter? Or might the Steelers be thoughtfully aggressive early the way that they were against the Denver Broncos? How do you think the Steelers and Chargers line up this chess match here?
Our truce is still going.
Still going.
I absolutely do think we're going to see a lot of that ground and pound. I do think you'll see the most aggressive version of the Steelers. Granted, that does not mean they're going to be throwing the ball 40, 50 times this week, unless things get out of hand. But I do believe, we're just talking to Arthur Smith, talking to Justin Fields, parts of this offense, they want to open up more of it. I think that they're also, this is also a defense that where it ranks number one in the NFL. I think they're going to try to attack different parts of this defense that give them better chances at getting down the middle part of the field, maybe down the deep middle part of the field. I wouldn't be shocked if early in this first drive, but that you see them come out with the ball, if you don't see like a play action deep post pattern George Pickens to just give them the option. If the Chargers leave him in one on one, Justin Fields just lets one rip. I do think you're gonna see them, because I think part of this game is gonna be about which team can put the other team behind first, and which team can force the other team to have to go into chase mode with their offensive plan. One thing, you know, people talk about Justin Fields and Justin Herbert has one more passing yard through two games than Justin Fields. So, like, the Chargers very much are playing the style of football the Steelers are playing right now. And I think this is going to come down to which defensive front disrupts the other offensive line more, which team forces the other team to get into to get more desperate in throwing the ball. That's going to be what determines the winner in this game.
What grade would you give Justin Fields for through the first two games?
I'd give him a B. I think he's kept to the script that the Steelers have given him. It'd be one thing if like this was a team that was like, well, wait a second, we gave you, you know, Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase at the wide receiver position, and you had you know George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey, like we gave you the all-star lineup, and you're getting these numbers. But no, this offense is very young. Mike Tomlin talked about that throughout the week. Arthur Smith talked about that yesterday, calling his offense there. They said, called him a startup business. They're very much in this position where it's like, look, Justin, we know that you're getting used to things in Pittsburgh. We know that you're reforming yourself after what happened in Chicago, and we're giving you the grace to figure that out. And in doing so, we're not going to ask too much of you. So I think right now he stuck to the script. There's been some plays that have been called back that weren't his fault. There's some plays that he missed that, you know, were his fault. But those plays, I don't think were that egregious. That's why I give him a B. I think he's done very well. But eventually they are going to need him to take a step forward. But hey, all week long, we've heard the Steelers think the dam's going to break soon. And it just makes me wonder what's going to be the thing that puts the biggest crack in that dam for things just to, for big plays to start bursting through.
Chris, neither of these guys have made their 2024 debut, Isaac Seumalo or Roman Wilson. Who do they need more? Is that a stupid question?
No, it's not. This team really needs a wide receiver. It's a very good question, actually. Yeah. This team needs a playmaker wide receiver. Roman Wilson was drafted to help there, and he hasn't been able to help there. Meanwhile, Isaac Seumalo is their best offensive lineman. I actually think that's a very good question. I actually never thought about who would be more important in this offense. I might have told you that was stupid back in, like, you know, the start of training camp. But, you know, after seeing the lack of production, I mean, I think that no receiver outside of George Pickens right now has more than 20 yards receiving right now. And so that would certainly help their cause if they can get another guy to get open, to challenge the defenses, and to take some pressure off George Pickens. But at the same time, you know, if Isaac Seumalo was in, I think Spencer Anderson's done a very solid job filling in at left guard. But left guard was supposed to be the position that steadied Zach Frazier, that allowed him to do that. And Zach Frazier's done a great job. Like, all high marks for Zach Frazier's two-game start in the NFL. But if Seumalo was next to him, I think it would make his job a lot easier. And I also think the Steelers would be running the ball a lot more effectively right now. And they're running the ball decently, but I think it would be even better with him in there. So I'll say it's actually kind of even because of the two needs how good Isaac Seumalo is, but also how big the need is for another playmaking wide receiver is.
Setting injuries aside, do you think we see Broderick Jones at all again this season?
I think so. I think the Steelers really believe in this guy. And I think it's also his demeanor when you talk to him in the locker room. Like, he's not moping around the locker room. He's not like woe is me-ing the way that we've seen other guys. You know, like, you know, Chukwuma Okorafor was moping around for a while when he didn't get his way. And, you know, now you see he's not even with the Patriots anymore. Broderick Jones is taking this on the chin. He's saying, hey, I just got to get better. And I think he also acknowledges that, like, hey, my right arm ain't in the best shape. But I think the Steelers, they appreciate his approach. They appreciate how hard he's been working. During training camp, he was the guy that took Troy Faltano under his wing. He was telling them about, you know, how they needed to do things in team meetings. They tell them how they needed to approach things, you know, in practice and working with them after practice. So, like, you know, I think that they are going to make sure that they see him at some point this season. Now, how do they open that door? That is a tricky question, because Dan Moore Jr. has been a very healthy left tackle for the Steelers over the first 3 years of his career, and he's actually played pretty decently to start this season. So, it might be a situation where they try to make something happen, or they might be trying to hope that something, you know, goes awry. And they're like, you know what? Hey, Dan, you blew this one. We're going to give the young guy a shot over there. But I do think you see him at some point. He was picked too high to not give him another chance.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here in the Fan Morning Show. Has Patrick Queen been good?
No, he has not been good. He was in fact not good again in the first game against the Falcons. He was solid last week. I thought he took steps forward, but I also think Patrick Queen hasn't necessarily played in the role that is his best right now. The Steelers have been blitzing. Patrick Queen loves to blitz, and I do think that changes this week. They've been very conservative as far as when they send the pass rush, because they've been able to win with four. But I think that against a team that loves to run the football, they're going to want to disrupt things up the middle. They're going to want to try to throw Justin Herbert off his timing. And part of that could be sending extra pressure, and Patrick Queen seems really good for that. I think especially in a game against running backs like J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, two guys who, you know, when I talked to Patrick Queen yesterday, he's very familiar with as a former Raven. I think he's going to have to come up big to help the Steelers here. But again, the whole thing about getting him at the price that they did is that he's fitting into this defense as a role-playing linebacker. No one's asking him to be Roquan Smith, because this team has Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward's back and playing very well, Minka Fitzpatrick, and Joey Porter Jr. is obviously having a really good year. They just need Patrick Queen to be in the right spots and make sure that the middle part of the field isn't a liability. And so far, it hasn't been. Has he been a playmaker yet? No, but I think those days are coming.
As a new face to the Steelers, who has impressed you more, Deshaun Elliott or Dante Jackson?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I'll say Deshaun Elliott, because I think that there were questions about, could he help cover tight ends? Could he get some, you know, create turnovers? Could he help play over the middle? And he has answered those. I think – Dante Jackson might have it if he didn't have some of the injuries he's had, because he's missed some time. You saw Corey Trice come in for him and make a really a very important interception in the last game. But Deshaun Elliott, he's playing his role. He's being physical. He's making tackles in the backfield. He's contributing on turnovers. And one thing that I thought was very important for the Steelers to have this year was another safety who could work with Minkah Fitzpatrick, who could communicate at a high level, fly to different parts of the field, and help do a lot of the little things that Terrell Edmonds was very good at doing when he was younger and with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And it's funny that they brought him back. But I think that Deshaun Elliott is like a better version of that. But I still think, if Deshaun Elliott goes down, that's a problem. That's why they went and got Terrell Edmonds off the practice squad from the Jaguars and added him back in here. So if I was to pick one right now, it'd be Deshaun Elliott. But look out for Dante Jackson. I think he's had a really good start to the season.
Chris, Pitt looking at a 4-0 start if they take care of business tomorrow, and then they're off until they play North Carolina. If they are to continue their run of success, what are some things that they might have to improve upon when they hit ACC play?
They got to stop the run more efficiently. I think that they're a team that they are at their best when their defense can tee off on you and just keep hitting you with a pass rush. Against West Virginia and Cincinnati, they allowed running backs to go off. And I said before the game, like, I know Jaheim White was the guy, but like C.J. Donaldson, put him in against Pitt, he's going to be a problem, and he was. You saw Corey Kiner for Cincinnati do the same thing. There's going to be other teams with running backs like that who get going. Pitt has to shore that up. But also, they need this offense to put together a full game. And I think that's something, the more and more I talk to players and coaches this week, that's something that Pitt's been focusing on all week. Like, hey, Youngstown State, they're not overlooking them, but they are going, look, this is a team, they just lost to Duquesne. We got to put these guys away. This can't be like Kent State where you're worrying about this in the third quarter. This can't be like, any of those games where you're coming back in the fourth. This needs to be come out and execute. Do what you're supposed to do. Put the points up on the board. Run away with it. And then that way you can say, okay, this is what it looks like when this offense is humming. And we haven't seen this offense hum. We've seen this offense have bursts, and the bursts are very impressive. I mean, again, a 10-point comeback last week with under 5 minutes to go, a 21-point comeback the week before that, in the back end of the second half. That's all very impressive. But you're not always going to win with comebacks. And Pat Narduzzi talked about it. In fact, I wrote about it yesterday for the Post-Gazette. He came in on Sunday after the backyard brawl, and P.J. O'Brien was like, Coach, smile. And Pat is like, I'm not happy. We have not played to our potential. And I think the team, from talking to players, they've embraced that this week. And they understand they're 3-0, and they understand that if they win Saturday, it'll be the first time since forever that Pitt joined a conference that they've been undefeated in their out-of-conference record. And they get all that, but they're also staying focused. And I think that's another testament to Pat Narduzzi, because for all the complaints that, he doesn't say the right things, his defense isn't complicated, he sticks to his base defense a lot, he gets his guys to believe. He gets his guys to understand. I think that's a very important part of coaching that Pat Narduzzi nails down, I think, 9 out of 10 times.
Chris, this was really good, as it always is. We do it every Friday at 8 o'clock. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We have cut this quarterback thing up for 3 weeks, and there's a question I have never asked you about it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I haven't asked this. I'm going to ask you next.
All right.
And then we got to go behind enemy lines. We got to do our football segment. We got Lee Sterling. We got odds and ends. We got to get moving.
Yes, we do.
We got football. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Money for you. Behind Enemy Lines coming up in the next segment, brought to us by Monster Brewing. Unable to get a Los Angeles Chargers beat writer to wake up this early, so I've put together my own scouting report, Doran, of the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
My astute film watching eyes on the YouTube. Behind Enemy Lines also brought to us by Galise Services, presented by Galise Services. So we'll do that coming up in the next segment. I think, and I'm wondering where you come down on this, that we've complicated the quarterback situation a little bit. Now, I'm guilty of this. I think everyone's doing the same thing.
Is this the question you want to ask me?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. What does Justin Fields need to do to keep the job? Does he need to throw 3 touchdowns? Like, I don't think Russell Wilson's playing next week either. Just from what I heard, just hearing Ray Fittipaldo talk yesterday, let's say they're 4-0. Does it even matter what it looks like? Like, you can't put Russell Wilson in there if you're 4-0.
No, that'd be detriment to,
right?
To service.
So I guess the question I was going to ask is, like, really? We're asking about the how? Doesn't it just matter about the what? Like, if they win, isn't that all that matters? Like, does he need to go out there and blow anybody away? I don't think so. I think you just win football games, and when Russ comes back, if you're sitting there at undefeated, you can't plug him in.
Well, I mean, you look at how you got there, you look at the present, and then you look at the future, right? Like, you kind of have to have that vision alongside of being operational and working every day. So it's like, if you are 4-0 and this is how you got there, you do want to stick to what has been working, but you also need to expand.
You do.
In order to win. You know, at the end, everybody knows that watches football. I mean, you don't need to be a genius to understand that there's a certain way to win in the playoffs. And you would think that if you start 4-0, your chances of making the playoffs are pretty high.
Yes.
So you have to start preparing for that. You do. I mean, unless you have an epic collapse where you lose every single game from there on out. But if you start 4-0, man, like, you got to start preparing for how you need to attack the playoffs. And is that with Justin, or would that be with Russell Wilson? Like, that's probably the question I think that you would have to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Like, how we need to play a certain brand of football whenever we do make it to the playoffs. How would that look with Justin? How would that look with Russ?
I could see them, if they are 4-0, not doing it that way, though. Is, hey, we're 4-0, we're winning football games.
Day by day, game by game type deal. Probably.
Exactly.
Probably.
Exactly. And I don't know that I would necessarily fault them, but you do have to look into the future. You absolutely have to. What I am wondering, though, is the offensive struggles we've seen around the league through 2 weeks, is this just September football, or is this the way it's going to be? Is running the ball going to rule the day? Is it going to be a couple of elite quarterbacks and then a precipitous drop-off after that? If the league has shifted back now towards running the ball, maybe they'll view it, globally speaking, as Mike Tomlin would say, different. I don't know that yet. It's a small sample size, but I do wonder. I do wonder. It's a cyclical thing. Like, throw it. Now everybody's running the football.
Right. And we talk about how this is the preseason. These first 4 games are really like the preseason because nobody really plays. But that doesn't mean that if you think about 3 years ago and in the previous times of preseason, like, if you have those 4 preseason games, those tune-up preseason games, that doesn't mean that you'll play good football after that.
Right.
So it could be that situation. It could be, hey, you can look at these first batch of games and there's not high production of offense as the preseason games. And it's like, oh, we got to figure things out. But that doesn't mean it's going to work. You know, that doesn't mean that it's all going to click after the first quarter of the season. So I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if it's going to change. I'm leaning towards it's not. I'm leaning towards that this is the trend this year. You know, there's trends every year.
Yes.
I'm leaning towards that. If that's the case, though, that does fall in the Steelers' favor.
I agree with that, and I don't want to give them too much credit because I don't know that they saw that. I don't know that the Steelers said, for the last 3 years, we're running the football because that's where the league is going. So, Mina Kimes is talking about the two high safeties and Mel Kiper. They're not the ones that made me go, ooh. What made me go, ooh, was the greatest head coach, arguably, of all time, Bill Belichick on the Manning cast, and he was talking about how Atlanta was trying to stop the run with their nickel defense and their dime defense.
Right.
And he said, they're just going to run the ball all day.
Yeah, you got littles.
Yeah. And that to me, that's the league right now is you're so specialized with nickel defense, with dime defense. There's a ton of defensive backs on the field for the layman. Why would you throw into that mess? Get big, get creative. You got tight ends who are multiple pass catchers but also can block, things of that nature. Line up. You want to play small? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to come.
We're going to shove it up your butt.
That's why it
respectfully.
In the favor, if we want to just talk about this and let this roll, like Darnell Washington as the second tight end. Like that is where it is in your favor. On defense, Peyton Wilson as that extra guy.
Yep.
Can cover.
That's a good point.
You know, if you want to throw like him as a nickel ish like type package, like okay, he can cover tight ends, but he can also stop the run. That's where it's in the Steelers' favor, if it all works out like what we're talking about.
I do think where I will not give to your point, where I will not give them credit offensively. Oh, it's going to turn into a running league. Defensively, they got different dudes for different game circumstances. Yes. Multiple guys. Not. I don't mean multiple. Like multiple. They got guys who are multiple. Yes. Like you mentioned, Peyton Wilson. Like that's a perfect guy, I think you could have mentioned there.
Herbig. Like in a sense.
I mean he's going to be my pass rusher, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could throw Terrell Edmonds in there. You know, you have multiple people to do multiple things. KZ, like different positions like that could tackle. It does kind of lean into their favor if this does continue.
Yeah. I do think defensively they've planned for it, and they're being rewarded through two games for it. You bring up Dante Jackson. That's a great point. So what do? You also need, like you said, defensive backs that aren't afraid to tackle. He blew a play up on the edge last week. I couldn't believe it was him. That's Dante Jackson coming. I said, I thought that was a linebacker.
Yep.
My God. Let's get more into this coming up at 8:50. The state of the league and the why. I do think part of the offensive problem is that 15.1 penalties per game are being called this year. Like, that's going to hurt the offense. A lot of these are offensive penalties. But up next, behind enemy lines with nuggets on Herbert, Dobbins, Edwards, and more. All right, it's time to go behind enemy lines. I feel like we need cool music for behind enemy lines, but I didn't plan on that. Kallus, do we have any cool music to play for behind enemy lines?
Give me like a minute.
I'm going to give you a minute. But we'll get into it right now. Don't have a Chargers beat writer this week. None of them want to get up. None of them want to get up and talk to us, which is weird because I figured some of them would be in Charlotte. That's where they're staying this week.
That is weird. You told me that before the show.
Isn't that kind of goofy?
Yeah, especially early on in the season.
Yeah. Like, it's not like Charlotte's next door.
You know where they're practicing at? Like,
they are practicing at UNC Charlotte.
Okay.
Which I wouldn't imagine is a state-of-the-art football facility. I mean, you got fields. You gonna hit music?
Ready for this? I like this one.
Oh boy. Oh yeah.
It's good.
Little NFL films music.
It's good.
Behind enemy lines. Mm-hmm. I wish I could play the violin just to do this. Is this a violin?
I don't know.
Text us 412-928-9370.
So, do that again.
This is a violin.
No.
This is a violin?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you ever see anybody who plays violin like
for a harp? But go ahead.
Harp is a pluck. I think you pluck a harp.
I think it's a banjo.
You do pluck a banjo. West Virginia joke incoming? We'll sidestep it. So I have a buddy, Wes, you know Wes, great guy. Dad has been in the Pittsburgh Symphony for like 30, 40 years.
Really?
Yeah. And man. I have a friend of a friend who went to Michigan to play the violin, and she's always got a bruise on her neck, so it looks like she's got a hickey.
Yeah.
At all times. But I digress. They're practicing in Charlotte, or the Los Angeles Chargers, And you've got Justin Herbert, who was limited in practice yesterday, didn't practice on Wednesday, got his ankle heavily taped. And I'm just wondering, Doran, it looks like his mobility is going to be absolutely nowhere near it needs to be against a defense like the Steelers. Is he going to be able to get the normal medical treatment there? Like, you're not going to have your hyperbaric chambers and your cold tubs and all that kind of stuff if you're in Charlotte at UNC, whatever the bleep.
Well, they probably shipped everything that they needed to there before they played the Panthers. So whatever he needs, he's going to get. It's just not going to be as familiar as being in L.A. You know, I mean, what else? I mean, what is this? It's just an ankle sprain?
Ankle sprain, okay. And then he's also, I think, has the remnants of that plantar fasciitis.
Right, yeah, so they have everything for him.
Okay.
I mean, he's a $250 million quarterback. You better have everything he needs.
That's a good point. If I can get a cold tub to put in my backyard, then he could get one,
yes.
too.
Yes, yes. I think he'll be all right.
Do you have a cold tub?
No.
Did you like the cold tub?
Yes.
Did it help?
Yes.
Big time.
Oh, yeah, every day. Had to do it every day.
Big time shrinkage there at the cold tub, too.
Yeah.
So Justin Herbert, 31 out of 46 on the season. That usually is a stat line for him in one game. I do think they want to run the ball. I also think they've been protecting him. He hasn't quite been as mobile as we've seen in the past. And if the ankle now on top of the plantar fasciitis, he could be sitting back there like a duck. You stop the run, you can crush this guy, in my opinion. Here's a weird stat I stumbled upon with the Chargers. J.K. Dobbins, 9.9 yards per carry, has 27 carries. Gus Edwards, 2.9 yards per carry, has 29 carries. So they've given the ball to the way less effective running back. Very strange to me.
How many receptions does J.K. Dobbins have compared to Gus Edwards? Maybe J.K. Dobbins is used out of the backfield a little bit more, and that's where his touches will be maybe higher. I would assume so. Because he's a little bit of a dual threat. He's a smaller guy, but he can run routes.
J.K. Dobbins, 4 catches, 4 yards.
Wow.
Gus Edwards, 1 catch, 2 yards.
Wow.
So they haven't gotten into that lately.
Damn.
They don't got guys.
No.
Like, I think Quentin Johnson's a really good prospect. I think he has a chance to be a really good NFL player. But you're looking at Quentin Johnson, Ladd McConkey. Will Disley's their third leading receiver with 42 yards, a tight end. Hayden Hurst, their fourth leading receiver with 38 yards. You know what this sounds like? The Steelers.
Yes.
Sounds exactly like going down the Steelers stats. Now on the other side of the ball. Broderick Jones not playing. Steelers fans, some of them, if not more than some, upset about this. For a guy that had 3 penalties in 6 plays. Called himself out. Both after the game and yesterday. The get-right game's not against Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, Doran.
No.
The Steelers' tackles are going to be tested in this game unlike they've been tested before. Now, I know Matthew Judon played in game one. He's still learning the defense, all that. And, you know, he got signed late in the process. So I don't think he was quite up to speed. I think this is the first real true test for these tackles this week, Doran.
Man. It's a tough one. I mean, these two guys, it's almost a crime that they're on the same team. I mean, they have to be the best 1-2 punch at that position in the league, right? I mean, on the team.
I think I would take the Steelers just because.
You're insane.
Just because I think Watt is so good. Like, I think Watt is clearly better than both of those guys. I do think both of those guys clearly better than Highsmith, however.
Man.
You think I'm insane? You arguably two of the best pass rushes in the NFL.
Yes.
That's not even arguable. Joey
Didn't
Bosa.
Khalil Mack get the sack record 1 year?
He has 1.5 sacks this year.
Right, and Bosa has what, 3?
He has 2.
2.
He has 2. But
Darnell Washington, big game.
Great call.
Huge game.
Great call.
Like, he'll be on the field 86% of the snaps.
Doran, you're going to be proud of me. He's one of my favorite guys to watch right now. Just where they line him up, how they use him. And he is an ass kicker.
Yes, he is.
Like, I know he hasn't caught. He caught a touchdown, but I know he hasn't been a good receiver for them in 2 years. Who cares? Honestly, this guy, there's a few people on the planet that look like him. Like, that's it.
Yep.
He's blowing up defensive ends as a tight end. That's special. And he's the perfect player, I think, for Arthur Smith. That was Behind Enemy Lines. Coming up next, our Around the League football segment. Arthur Smith's going to say something. And then, Doran, I want to know, well, I think we should talk out what's going on with offenses in the NFL. Is it a quarterback issue? Is it an offensive line issue? Is it an officiating issue? Is it all the above? We'll get into that when we come back before we hear from Lee Sterling at 9 o'clock. Odds and ends after that. Still so much to get to in the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And now, we're going around the NFL. How about a little globally speaking segment, Doran?
Okay.
That's what Tomlin always says when he looks at the NFL, globally speaking. Brought to us by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Everyone's got theories on why scoring's down. Everyone's got theories as to why the football looks so ugly. Have you spent any time thinking about this?
No.
Is the quarterback play bad?
Yes.
Is it because there's bad quarterbacks, or are they just playing bad?
I think there are bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I think that starts in college. Now, are we talking young guys? Are we talking guys that have been in the league? But I think the college game has changed so much that it's so much different than the NFL that guys aren't as ready. Like, years ago, like you wanted to run your offenses like the NFL. Now it's different, and guys aren't ready to play in the NFL style at that position. So I think it's a little column A, column B. I think that quarterbacks are bad, and quarterbacks are playing bad.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, I'm looking at a quarterback power rankings list, Doran, after week three, and there's a lot of bad players on there, or guys who are at least playing bad. I mean, Miami got Jordan Thompson. Okay, I mean, sorry, your guy got hurt. That stinks. Bo Nix stinks right now. Will Levis stinks right now. Willis in Green Bay won a game, didn't play great football. Andy Dalton is what he is. Deshaun Watson stinks. Gardner Minshew's just a guy. Daniel Jones really stinks. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, that's 12 quarterbacks right there. Does anyone want to watch those guys play?
No.
I don't think so either. And then, you know, Kirk Cousins, when he's good, okay, he's good, but is he great? No. Richardson, Derek Carr, he's barely thrown it this year, and they're putting up a bunch of points, so you kind of put them to the side. But I said coming into the season that we might not have the best star power that we had. That was when you had Manning, and you had Breeze, and Rodgers, and Ben, and Brady, and all those guys. And I said, I think the quarterback play is deeper. I'm totally reevaluating now.
Yeah.
Like, Baker Mayfield's a good player. He's not great. Jared Goff, good, not great. Trevor Lawrence, totally overpaid. Geno Smith, who they have as their 10th best quarterback. Like, I like Geno. He's played well. But that doesn't mean you've got great quarterback play in the league.
It just shows you how good Patrick Mahomes is. Like, this is, I mean, it's just insane how good he is.
Yes.
That's what this shows you. Because everybody's trying to chase him, and he's still doing it. And also Andy Reid, let's give him some credit too of putting the right things around him and putting him in the right situations. But Patrick Mahomes is just in a whole other place by himself.
A cut above.
Oh, everybody.
Yeah. And you had Brady as the GOAT before, but
there was other guys.
Other Hall of Fame guys who also won championships.
Like, who's a Hall of Fame guy? Who's a Hall of Fame quarterback right now outside of Mahomes?
I think Josh Allen and Jackson are going to get in eventually one day when it's all said and done. I mean, Jackson's won two MVPs, but neither of those guys won a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, Stafford's won a Super Bowl. He'll get in. But he's not anywhere near as good as Mahomes. The guy they have at fifth is Dak Prescott. And I love me some Dak, Dorn, but he ain't won jack about crap. C.J. Stroud might be the next one. Like, as you're looking at, okay, there's your top however many. Then you got him and maybe Joe Burrow, the guy the Steelers are going to see this weekend. But you used to have five or six Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Eli Manning gets thrown in there, Hall of Fame quarterback. Now you've got, what, a couple of sure things?
Right. I mean, you had guys like Matt Ryan, who is probably going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but was probably outside of the top 10 whenever things were humming.
I mean, right? He won an NFL MVP. I mean, even thinking back to the era that I was talking about, you had Kurt Warner, who got into the Hall of Fame. I think I had a bad take back then. Like, that was much better than what you got going on right now. And it doesn't mean that the Purdy's of the world and the Rodgers of the world who played well last night aren't good players at this point in their respective careers, but Rodgers ain't what he used to be. And Brock Purdy's fine. Like, he's fine. Is he better than that?
I mean, you could look at it this way too. I mean, you could put Rodgers and Stafford in a different category because they were, whenever they came into the league, it was at that high time.
So true.
If you take them out, then how many big time quarterbacks do you really have?
Yeah. Not a lot. Like Kyler Murray's playing good football. What's he ever won? Nothing.
Call of Duty game? Call of Duty match?
Yeah, the new Call of Duty comes out later this year.
Yes.
Do we think his play will drop off considerably at that point?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You could be Michael Myers in that game.
What?
Yeah, they put Michael Myers in the game.
You missed out on Friday the 13th. I feel like I'm going to get it tenfold coming around on Halloween.
Yes. Yeah. The whole month, actually.
Oh, don't do the whole month.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
My football team's bad, and you're going to... Thanks. Huh. I think offensive line play leaves a lot to be desired now, too, for all the reasons you were talking about with quarterbacks. Guys come out of college, and you're just asked to do different things. What are you making a face?
No, I'm good.
Oh, Crowley's about to talk offensive line. Is that the face you're making?
No, I'm listening. It's good stuff.
The one thing I think is funny, and by percentage, we are seeing more cover two, but this idea that offensive coordinators don't know how to call plays to beat cover two is absolutely ridiculous to me.
I thought it was a parody, but it's not.
It's not.
It's crazy.
Mina Kimes.
Ridiculous.
Mel Kiper.
Ridiculous.
Oh my God, what do we do against cover two? What's going to happen? How about you draw me up a little hole shot, Doran? You like that? How about a little hole shot?
What?
All right, Lee Sterling going to join us next to go over this weekend's biggest, most important, most intriguing football games. And then we're diving in head first for 45 minutes of the best Steelers coverage you're going to get anywhere. That's all on your way. First, though, fan weather. And it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. A whole shot, Doran. High today of 84 degrees.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.